Welcome to the Via Tourism Podcast, and I'm Coach Bent Williams. The Via Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest today is the general manager of the newly opened Mövenpick Hotel Abidjan, Mr. Peter Hosley. Peter discusses the reasons behind the decision to have the brand in Abidjan and the hotel's rich footprint in sustainability and women empowerment. Peter will recount his first time in Abidjan in 1980 and what it means to him to be back managing a hotel in the West African country 4 decades after. Good afternoon, I'm coming to you from Abidjan again, and where we've been profiling Abidjan and Cote d'Ivoire, and I've been honored to have Peter Hosley, the general manager of the newly opened Mövenpick Hotel Abidjan, here with me. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
And how are you doing, Abidjan? Oh. Bonjour. I should have said bonjour.
Bonjour, yes. Well, I speak better English than French, so I'm super. Fine
Thank
with
you.
The English.
Thank you, again. So, you opened the new hotel. You had honor of opening the new hotel here 2 or 3 weeks ago.
That was the grand opening.
Tell us more about that.
Okay.
And what informed the decision of opening this new hotel in Abidjan?
Well, of course, the owners had this project since quite a while already, and they chose Mövenpick because it was a different chain than already existing here in at the Ivory Coast. And they prefer to have, something a bit as a contrast to what is already existing here in Abidjan. They wanted to have the Mövenpick as a Swiss brand.
Okay. Now, in terms of, tell us more about the hotel, the capacity.
Yeah.
You know.
Actually, we opened already in December, on December 28, 2020.
Okay. Soft opening, I suppose.
That was a soft opening, but with all the rooms, all the facilities, pretty much. There was some finishing touches and so on afterwards, but we've opened fully on 28 of December, and then we had the grand opening on 30th of September this year. The hotel has 160 rooms. Mm-hmm. And suites. We have 5 executive suites, which are all a bit different themed in color-wise, artworks and so on. We have original work of arts in the suites, and the suites have beautiful view over the lagoon here. It's a nice 62 square meter suite. And then 3 of the 5 suites are also connected to superior room, so they can be made as a 2-bedroom suite. Then we have 6 premium rooms, which are 38 square meter in size. They are also on the 7th floor. Now, the special thing we have here at the hotel is the executive club. 6th and 7th floor are executive club. This is the only hotel here in Abidjan with an executive club. And we have the lounge. The executive lounge is on the 7th floor with a fantastic view over Abidjan and the lagoon. And there we are serving every day the breakfast for the guests on the executive club. And then during the day we have snacks, non-alcoholic drinks, and from 6:30 to 7:30 in the evening we have the happy hour with alcoholic beverages, snacks and so on for the guests again of the executive club. And you have library, you have a small lounge as well where we can have a bit more privacy. You have a big working area where you can connect your computers and so on as well.
Okay, I know that as a hotel, and usually it's open for everyone and for
Absolutely.
Everybody. But in terms of your core market and for Mövenpick, obviously looking at the business event sector, what is your capacity in terms of the rooms, conferencing and all that?
For the moment, we have 4 meeting rooms. One is a smaller one with, it's about 40 square meter for 10 person. It's a boardroom with a separate salon or a half connected salon next to it. Very elegant on the first floor here, and the other three meeting rooms are on the ground floor with access. One has a big window front, 90 square meter in size, about 3.30 meters ceiling height, which is very comfortable, and a full window front to the terrace. And the other, then we have another one with 50 square meter and with 35 square meter downstairs.
Okay, no, I mean, pretty much exciting and very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe you've heard about Sublime Côte d'Ivoire. Sublime Côte d'Ivoire, the tourism project of the ministry. And one of its main targets was to look at Abidjan as the business destination. Mm-hmm. In your opening of this property, what do you think a hotel like yours, and with all your experience, can you bring on board to help this vision of the country and then of the ministry?
No, of course. What I said also during the grand opening event, I said I hope that Mövenpick, because it's a Swiss brand within all other brands, it's a Swiss, it's a bit exotic. It gives a nice change to the market. It gives another option to the market. And, as Mövenpick, we are not only giving accommodation and so on, we also have the food and beverage experience. We have our own products, which are very famous, and they are existing since very long time already.
Okay, now we cannot have any conversation without the ferocious COVID virus.
Yes, of course.
Now things, our world has changed, and mm-hmm. tourism will not be the same. Mm-hmm. What are some of the elements that you believe as a hotelier and as an industry leader that you've picked on board that will change how you practice tourism here in not just in Côte d'Ivoire, but in the tourism sector?
Now look, we have seen it last time when we had a big event, which was September 11. The world has changed afterwards. It changed how we traveled. It changed even how we look at security, how we are letting guests accessing the hotel and so on. Now, COVID had similar effect, and COVID, we have to consider COVID was for a very long time, yeah. And it's not over yet.
Yeah.
And I can see from Europe, when I go to Europe, it's extremely strict, and you need a COVID certificate or a test in order to stay in a hotel, for example, or even to enter a restaurant. And so things have changed, and I think, yes, we will normalize, but something will stay back, as we had things staying back from September 11. It will stay back. People change their way of doing business, of traveling, and all this. It will, certain things will stay with us for sure. I personally think that the business will recuperate for sure. It will come back. In what volume and so on? Yes, it will come back. In certain areas, you have it coming back much faster than in others. But then again, also you have certain destination where you have not only business travelers, you also have leisure. And you have all the segments producing there, which helps, of course, the recovery, because you have people from all different kind of the segments producing, have the potential to produce. So the recovery is much faster, because even though you might not have the business traveler coming back right away, you will have leisure travelers or vice versa. So here it's a bit more difficult, because we do not really have leisure travelers.
Yes.
And this already limits, So when you talk of business traveler, of course, now a lot of people start to do online meetings, and very popular. We do the same thing. So then they realize that they can actually save a lot of money with that. So yes, it will come back, but people will still continue to use some of the practices which they have applied now. They will continue to use, because it does save them money also.
Okay. Now it takes me straight to the point of what are some of the measures as a hotel that you've put in place here in Abidjan with respect to COVID?
Oh, that's, and for us, that's very good, because we are part of Accor, and Accor has the All Safe guideline. And You have also milk here if you need. And they are very strict in implementing and applying, adhering to the guideline. We just recertified again, all safe. We did that during the opening, and now we had to recertify the same again. So it's not just a matter of just updating the thing. No, we had to redo the whole thing again, the whole audits and all this stuff, and really give proof of what we do. So we are quite strict in applying it. It is, at the beginning, it was not easy because it's completely, you're not used to it, you know. But now, when you don't wear your
you feel that there's something
you feel something is missing. Exactly. You know, you're not dressed completely. It's nothing. It's like you know. So it's somehow this something like this. It's much normal now. At the beginning, of course, was a bit difficult, but the good thing also for us here at the Mölnpick, we opened with it already, so we never operated without it. You know, okay. we have put the all safe, which are very it's a very high standard of compliance in terms of COVID. We have implemented, we have opened with it directly.
Okay, I had the privilege of traveling, you know, after. Lockdowns were lifted. Mm-hmm. You see, that it's a completely new experience. Now, for a hotel like Mövenpick and for Accor, do you have systems that allows, for example, for your guests to be able to take a test in house, or you have?
No, we you can. Know, med- you we or arrange. Can arrange we know. Can organize that. Yes.
Okay.
We organize the test. So somebody wants to do the test here. They can. Of course, they have to pay a supplement to the doctor that comes and does the test here. But they can do. We organize it for them, and it's very efficient. I've done it myself here. I also spent 20,000 francs for it, but it was worth it, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And before, you see, before we had the center just up here to do, but the other day, unfortunately, it burned down.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. We will go away to another one. Yeah. But you can do it here at the hotel. We organize that.
Okay. Today. Because I think, you know, travelers want to be assured, because sometimes the inconvenience is not about the, you know, the payment, but just the, you know, inconvenience of not getting the result early.
I know. And the people,
I mean, I have colleagues,
you know,
who couldn't fly.
I know. I know. And people are in uncertain, you know, because it's not only the country asking for certain things. It's also the airline on top of it. So
exactly.
You have to be careful, because certain things need to be in English. So you need to ask for it in English. English and so on. It's always people. I receive a lot, because I'm getting the incoming mail for the hotel as well here in my office. So I see what the guests are asking, and there are a lot of requests for assistance in this and what they need, because it's not only the COVID test they need. They need also the yellow fever and all. You know, you do documents. You start to prepare. Yeah, you have to prepare really and organize well ahead of time, and then it's okay. I mean, we help and it's smooth out, and we didn't have any issues with that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now COP26 is just around the corner, and COP26.
Okay.
COP26.
Yes.
And I'm just bringing it to the point of your footprint as Accor.
Yes.
And in terms of sustainability, and you know, responsible.
I wanted to show you.
No, so I was making the point that in terms of your footprint, sustainability, mm-hmm. responsible tourism, mm-hmm. What is it that you have?
Now we have,
you know, to offer for
now we have different projects. First of all, the hotel was built in a very environment friendly way, or constructed in a environment friendly way, in order to have it operated environment friendly with a lower footprint of CO2. That's one thing, and we also got the certificate for it, and that was a requirement which wanted the owner wanted to have that. So they organized it already from the beginning. They designed it like this. The design already got the certificate, and it's about 30%, almost 30% less, I believe.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then obviously we started to work immediately for Planet 21, which is the sustainability program, or environment friendly thing of Accor. But not only that, we also start to do work on the certification of Green Globe, because all Mönbeek hotels have to certify the Green Globe. They have to have the Green Globe certificate. I worked with Green Globe the first time in 1999 in Cairo. We were the second hotel in Egypt implementing it a week after one of the other five-star hotels implemented it. And so I'm used to it since quite long time already. We also, for example, in Jordan, we were the first hotels to implement HACCP. We were the first hotel to have the blue flag. We were the first hotel to actually get the gender equity seal from UN Women. That was in Jordan. I tried then the other HACCP we had it when I worked in Saudi Arabia. We had it too. We had the Green Globe as well. We also had the Planet 21. Here we will start to work on HACCP next year to get the certificate next year. The good thing is that the hotel was designed, the kitchen and so on was designed to actually be HACCP compliant. But of course, it's like with an ISO. You need to have a lot of work to do to actually have all documentation ready to certify HACCP afterwards. And this would be then the first, to my knowledge, it will be the first hotel in Ivory Coast to certify HACCP. And this is a great thing to do. If you have the possibility already, if a new hotel, you have to take the opportunity to implement it from day one and to get the staff used to these environment friendly. You probably, when you go to the back of house or even the meeting room, you see garbage segregation there already. So everything is already from the employees are sensibilized already. Yes, since the beginning. We are very conscious on that.
Okay. Now, on the point of UN Women, I come to the very interesting
I try
point.
To do it here, because here the women are so strong.
So, I'm making the point that, in terms of, obviously, I think that, you know, we know we've made some success, but what do you want to leave, or what do you want to have as a success story with respect to having a bit of a balance with respect to women.
Look, yes, you see, when you have ladies in the management equal with men, you make different decisions. The decisions are different, you know, because ladies look at things different than men do. And I think this is good, and we have to take advantage of it. And we have quite a good number of ladies already in our executive team. And usually when we have candidates for the same post, a man and a woman with both equal qualification, we should be choosing the lady.
Okay. No, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Good.
That's very important. And the good thing also with Accor, we have quite a lot of initiatives in this respect as well. And it's encouraged already by Accor and before also by Mönbeek, of course. But Accor is very strong in this.
Okay, yeah. That's
and I think it's a great exciting thing to do, because here women are working full-time, same. It's very equal, really. We should take advantage of it. This is a great potential.
I mean, as we wrap up our conversation, Accor is a strong brand. I mean, it's one of the leading brands in the world. Now, we know, yes, this Mönbeek here in Abidjan, it is a world-class hotel. We have the stories of seeing world-class hotels living on like if you may permit me to say, like on an island. I bring, you know, it brings me to a question that how African can Mönbeek be respect to gastronomy in terms of the things that,
look,
I mean, you do as a hotel.
We have as the saying that in German, love goes through the stomach. Okay, so if you eat well, you love it, right?
Yes.
And Mönbeek is very strong in food and beverage. We have our own product since the 60s. We started in 1948 with the first restaurant, 1950, then with several other restaurants in Switzerland. And then in the 70s, we actually, 76, we went out of Europe to Egypt. They were very strong there. And when I worked then in 98, the first time in Egypt, they still talked about this Choliville Mumbikia at the pyramids, about their buffets, about their, because they were doing everything fresh and they brought something to the market nobody else had. Then others, of course, started to copy. And it's such a strong brand in this, and the initiatives they have, or we have, it's great. And, you know, we have, for example, our signature dishes. They are existing since the beginning. And these are dishes which we all have on our menu, and we mark it with a Swiss flag. And that's like a riz casimir, a cordon bleu, beef tartare. You have the carrot cake. Carrot cake, by the way, must also be on every breakfast buffet together with the birkenmuesli and the Swiss cheese. Birkenmuesli, you know, probably, no?
Yes.
This is typical Swiss thing. It's a very Swiss thing, and it was made a long time ago in order, with all the vitamins and the things the body needs, they put in that birkenmuesli so that everybody had the same nutritional value on a daily basis. That was the idea of birkenmuesli. And that was, by the way, by Dr. Bircher. That's why it's called birkenmuesli. It's a very interesting thing. This is part of our... we must have it on the breakfast buffet. You have to try it. If you didn't try it, you have to try it. It's very nice, beautiful. I have it every morning.
But you know, just on the gastronomy side of things, that I'm working as an Ivorian or as a Ghanaian, as a Nigerian, and want to grab some aloko or some achete.
No, we have that too. Oh, yes. When you go to our buffet, you have two corners basically. One, it's half-half, 50-50. Okay. So either you go right or left. And in the center, you have then the cold dishes and the desserts. On the right, you have the more the Ivorian dishes, and on the left, more the international ones. And we make it a point. We have a lot of Ivorian dishes, and they do it very well here, by the way. There's a crew here. They cook very well. When we had the National Day celebration...
Which one have you tried?
Sorry?
Which Ivorian dish have you tried?
Oh, me, I'm more for the, well, I eat it. When we did the pre-opening, I had Ivorian food basically every day. Sometimes I afforded myself a burger, from one of the, of this. But then most of them were closed as well, you know. So because of this was the beginning of COVID when we did the pre-opening, and we didn't have our own kitchen yet at that time. So I ate Ivorian food. I love the aloko. I love that. But I also eat the other things, and I like it a bit spicy. Because, you know, I worked in Asia for 8.5 years, in Thailand and Malaysia, and there they eat very spicy, so I'm used to it.
Okay. Did you feel opening a property that you were here at the tender age of 17? And now here.
It's strange, I was, when I told my mother that I would go here, go to Abidjan, she was laughing, you know, because somehow I come back. I was, when they proposed it to me, I said, oh yeah, lovely, because I had a great time here. It is a great country. People are very polite with each other. They're getting along with each other somehow. I mean, you have negative things, like you can go wherever you want. You have positive and negative things. But in general, life is very good here. It's calm, and it's, the people are very polite. I like that. You know, I was 22 years in the Middle East, working in the Middle East. I love the Middle East, and the people, they are fabulous. That's by far my preferred destination. But here, the people, it's calm, as there is not as much tension as you might have in other region of the world. And the people are very polite. Even when you speak to each other, they are extremely polite. You know, probably it's also because they speak French. It sounds polite. No, maybe. But they're very polite. They greet. They tell you the name or the position a lot, which is also, it's a French thing. But I feel that they have the respect also for each other, because I look at them as well, how they talk to each other. And I think this is a strong value for the destination, especially when you look at tourism later on. I think this is great to have.
Okay. Yeah? Now, finally, who is Peter Hosley? Tell us more about yourself, what you do. You know, I mean, we know what you do right now, but how your journey started.
Oh, I, You know, in Switzerland we do apprenticeships. So we start very early. I was 16 and a half when I started to work, and when I started to do my apprenticeship. After my regular schooling, I did the commercial school for 1 year, but also in hotel section. But then I went for apprenticeship. I wanted to do the apprenticeship as a cook since ever. But in Switzerland, if you want to do that in a fancy hotel, you wait for 3-4 years because it's a waiting line. And then even if you get the job there, you are very lucky, because usually you need to, this is very difficult to find an apprenticeship. So I was able, they gave me an apprenticeship for 1982. So, but I needed something for 1980. So when I told them, they asked me what I would do in the meantime. I said, I will do the apprenticeship in service. So they said, you can do that with us too. So I was at the Bellevue Palace in Bern, did the apprenticeship in service, and then also the apprenticeship in kitchen. I'm a certified waiter and a certified cook. And then I knew I wouldn't want to stay in the kitchen or in the service. I wanted to move up. I knew that from the beginning. So I planned my career very carefully. So I did the training at the reception in Montreux, at the Montreux Palace. And then I went on to the Borivage Palace in Lausanne as a restaurant cashier. And then I did the hotel school in Switzerland. And I did it in the Centre International de Glion. And for me, this was very difficult. My mother tongue is German. And I spoke good English already at that time. But French is difficult for us. And the hotel school was in French. Wow. So that's why also I chose the French part of Switzerland in order for me to get into the French language. So yes, and I had a bit French lesson, so I did the hotel school, the cycle cours there, and then I went on to reception, continued in reception. Went to the Quellenhof in Bad Ragaz, which is also one of the leading hotels of the world. Fabulous hotel. A very, very high standard in terms of service and wonderful. And then I wanted to go abroad. I traveled a lot that was one of my first trip before I was with my parents in Egypt in 79, then here in Abidjan 1980, and then South America 81, and Caribbean and Asia from 83 onwards, pretty much every year or every second year in Asia, and then the world tour in 87 for two months. I went with my mother on a tour around the world and so on. So I wanted to work abroad. I wanted to. And of course, for us at that time, Asia was number one. Now you would say the best hotels are in Dubai. At that time, you would say the best hotels are in Asia. So my target was definitely Asia. But I went first, I went in 1989, I went to Bermuda. And Bermuda was a very unique place. As much as you are here in Ivory Coast French, they are as much there English, British, very British. And I loved it. I liked it a lot, but everything was a bit small there. So I wanted to go in a bigger hotel, and I had a great chance to go to Bangkok as a resident manager in a 300-room five-star hotel. So I took the chance. I went to 1991 January 1990, I started in Bangkok. And then after 2.5 years, I did change the hotel in Bangkok, and they did the opening of the Emerald. It's a 629-room hotel in Bangkok, 5-star, beautiful. And then after that, I went on to Langkawi in Malaysia. That was also a big hotel, 400 rooms, resort. And then the general manager of the second property in Bangkok asked me to join him again in Kota Kinabalu for a pre-opening, which I did for 2 years. And for me, Kota Kinabalu was one of my best destinations. Fabulous people, quite efficient, very friendly, very westernized, very, very high standard. I have to say, I enjoyed it a lot. And we did a lot from scratch. The whole hotel, 500 rooms, deluxe, we did it from scratch. The Asia crisis came. As for many others, the project didn't continue. Well, it was very advanced already. Close, I would say, about 5 months, 6 months prior to the opening only. And it stopped, and we left. I then joined Mövenpick 1998 in Cairo as a resident manager.
Over 20?
23 years now. September, it was 23 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's a great group to work with.
Yes,
I can only recommend it. And you know, wherever you work, like the country, wherever you live, there's something good, something bad. But at the end, everywhere it's the same. So why change?
I like that. Now, in 30 seconds, why should we choose Mövenpick Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire?
Mövenpick Abidjan is different to others. As I said before, Mövenpick, first of all, is a brand new hotel, has new things installed already for the guests, new technology, but also the ambiance is wonderful. You have international standard hotel, five-star hotel, but then you have a lot of African art, a lot of the meeting rooms, they have original paintings and they're named by an artist, and then the paintings are from the artist inside the meeting room. There's an experience, and the location is fabulous, you know. And now we are connected to Plaza Nur Al Hayat, where you have another restaurant and you have the art gallery and you have plenty of shops. And you have the ATM machine, all this stuff is there, pharmacy, travel agencies, bank, everything is there. So you're in the middle of everything. And where we are, basically, this is a destination within a destination. So the best place to be in Abidjan.
Mr. Hosley, thank you so much. You've educated us a lot, and we would like to come back to you again.
With pleasure.
To see how things are going.
With pleasure. You're welcome anytime.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.